Jonah, thank you very much for reading. And as Jonah said, I think I've switched this on. As Jonah said, that is page 1082, right towards the end of your Bible, and it's John chapter 14. And actually, we're going to be really thinking about verses 15 onwards. Let me say a prayer. Loving Father, thank you that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So please, would he be at work in us today, we ask, as we listen to that word now and think upon it. Amen. Well, imagine this scene. You open the door to a big room and all of your favourite friends are inside it. These are the friends who've stood by you through good times and bad. They've always been by your side, always ready to defend you and help you. Like, for example, there's Doug standing over there in year 9 when you were being beaten up by Big Bertha, the school bully. Doug was there, fists flailing, ready to defend you. Or over there, there's Barry. And Barry was your best man. As you attempted to run away, feeling really nervous on your wedding day, he was there to plead your cause and say, look, you've got this. You can do it. Don't run away. It's going to be fantastic. You've got everything you need for this day. And over there, there's Sharon, who you work with. On the day when people were being made redundant and you knew that your boss didn't really like you, she was there to plead your cause and to say, look, he's a great worker. You really don't want to lose him from your team. He's such an asset. And there were many other people in that room who you knew are on your side, people ready to fight for you and to defend you against all accusations. But fluttering over their head was a banner. And on that banner was a single word, intervention. Have you ever heard of this? Something that's really popular in the States. When a group of friends are concerned about someone they really care about, maybe there's something going wrong in that person's life, they're making a really unwise choice of romantic partner, maybe, or the personal hygiene is really lacking and they've tried everything to gently correct it, they'll have an intervention and they'll say, look, please listen to us for a moment as we say something to you you don't want to hear, but you do really need to hear. Don't know if you've got a friend like that. Have you got a friend who's prepared to say something really hard and critical to you, but you know that they're saying it out of love because they've proven that they're on your side over many years? Have you got a friend like that? I wonder, it's really sad if you don't, I have to say. Well, in our reading from John's Gospel today, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit is just such a friend, an advocate who is prepared to speak for you to others, to defend you, but also someone who will accuse you in ways that you need to hear. We're going to think on just a few words from our Bible reading today, words that are famous, particularly if you're a fan of Thomas Tallis, which I know you are. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. We're going to think mostly about those words, but actually we're going to zone in even more than that and think about two words that appear there that tell us much of what we need to know about God, the Holy Spirit, who came powerfully upon the church on the day of Pentecost that we remember today. And these two words are there in verse 16, another and advocate. I'm going to think about these two words separately and together. The Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to tell us, is another advocate. Should we take the another first? Imagine you're a waiter working in a restaurant and somebody at the table says, yes, we'll have another one of those. When they say another one of those, there's something on that table that is really great, or maybe it's really cheap, and they want another one of those. Maybe it's another delicious beer, and the meal won't be right unless there is another. So you'd better, as the waiter, be absolutely sure what the first thing is, so that when you go and get another of them, you've got it absolutely right. When Jesus says, another advocate, It begs the question, doesn't it? Well, who is the first advocate that the Holy Spirit is another one of? I wonder if you've ever wondered that. Who is the other advocate? Well, it's Jesus. And when Jesus talks about another, he is saying that the Holy Spirit is like him. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus. He is another advocate. And we see this play out in a few ways, actually, in our reading. Notice there, the Holy Spirit is described as the Spirit of truth. Well, John wants to be really clear that Jesus is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except him. He is the true vine. He is the one you should come to for truth. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is truth. Just as Jesus is truth, so the Holy Spirit, another counselor, another advocate, is truth as well. But there's more. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know what John says about Jesus? Right at the beginning of his gospel, he says, Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world did not accept him. He came to his own people, but his own people did not accept him, but some did, who believed in him. Many people passed Jesus by. See, there's nothing remarkable there, nothing worth following, nothing worth getting to know more about. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit. You know, people often talk about the Holy Spirit as though he is some sort of universal thing that everyone can tap into, some sort of force of inspiration that exists throughout the world. But Jesus doesn't want to say that about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus, in that many people will not be interested at all. Just as the Son was ignored, so the Spirit will be ignored. So just as some people respond to the Son of God, so some people won't respond to the Spirit of God. He is like Jesus, another advocate, another counselor, another comforter. Something really important in those words. It's really easy to miss. I wonder if you noticed this. It's the word him. Do you spot that? The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I don't think anyone's ever been as interested in personal pronouns as they are today, are they? I made an exciting discovery this week. I've always known that the word pronounced who in Hebrew means he, and the word pronounced he in Hebrew means she. So if you're trying to remember your Hebrew personal pronouns, remember who is he and he is she, and that's quite straightforward. I discovered this week that the same is true in Arabic as well, and that personal pronoun him and he matters a great deal. Because it's very easy to think that the Holy Spirit is some sort of stuff, a sort of force. And many people talk about the Holy Spirit as though the Holy Spirit is a stuff or a force or some sort of aspect of God. But the language that Jesus uses to refer to the Holy Spirit is personal. He is a he. Just as Jesus is a he. It's not saying something about masculinity. It's saying something about personhood. The Holy Spirit is personal in the sense that he feels and he knows. Paul goes on later on in the New Testament to say that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve a force, can you? But you can grieve a person. And he says that the Holy Spirit prays for us with sighs that are too deep to express. Well, a force can't pray for you, but a person can. The Holy Spirit is personal, and he is with you. Just as Jesus is with his people always, so the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, another counselor, another advocate, another comforter, is with his people. He lives with you and will be in you. Do you see that a lot of things that John wants to say about Jesus are true of the Holy Spirit as well? Because he is another comforter. He is a Jesus doppelganger, if you like. He is like Jesus in every respect. He is another advocate. That means that he is a personal divine presence. That's a great way to summarize this. He is personal. He has personhood. He is divine. He is God, just in the same way that Jesus is. And he is present with you. That's a great promise, isn't it? God's the God of heaven living in you. That's what Pentecost is about. The Holy Spirit is God in the same way that the Son is God. Just a little tiny bit of doctrine for you. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that the Holy Trinity is sort of three aspects of God, or three ways that God can be. So God can be sort of up there in heaven, or God can be down here on earth and dying on the cross as the Son, or he can be out there as a sort of force in the world like the Holy Spirit. If you say that, you're dismissing the threeness of God in favor of the oneness of God. And the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is a way of preserving those two things paradoxically together, the oneness of God and the threeness of God. Jesus wants to tell us here about the threeness of God. Just as the Son is God, so the Holy Spirit is God as well. And they share so much together. There we go. That's the word another. He is another, and he is another advocate. What is an advocate? Well, it's kind of a legal term, isn't it? Well, we've had Hebrew and we've had Arabic. Should we go for another one? Let's do some Greek next. There are lots of different words that are used to translate the word that is being used here. And I've used some of them already. We've had comforter that you get in the King James Bible, counselor that you get in some more modern translations. And here we've got advocate. And these are all ways of translating a Greek word, para. Kletos. I'm not trying to be clever here, by the way, but it is helpful, I think, this tiny bit of Greek. This Greek word comes from two bits, para, which is a preposition meaning sort of alongside, and kaleo or kletos, which means to call out. So this is someone who calls out from your side, if you like. They are someone who is with you and speaks on your behalf. And that plays out in a lot of ways. And one of a good way of understanding this is legal. The advocate, that's what we've got in our translation. This is someone who is speaking for you. I hope you've never been in a situation like this, but imagine you're in the courtroom and you're hearing the prosecution, and it just sounds awful. And all these facts, all these arguments are being arrayed against you. And maybe you're thinking, oh, maybe I did do it. Sounds from what they're saying like I did it. No one's going to think I'm innocent after hearing all of that. But then your defense barrister gets up, they adjust the wig, smarten out their gown, and then unleash their brilliant argument. And all of a sudden, when you hear someone speaking for you, you think, actually, do you know what? I knew I was innocent, and everyone else will hear the same. This is brilliant. It's great to hear someone speaking for me in my defense. Well, the Holy Spirit will do that. He will speak for you in your defense. And do you know who needs to hear that defense most of all? It's you. It's you, isn't it? You know, when it seems like life's falling apart and you're doing a really bad job at navigating your way through life, the Holy Spirit is the one who can say to you, it doesn't matter. Keep on going. God delights in you. He sent his Son Jesus to die for you. And in fact, it was whilst you were a sinner, whilst everything was going wrong, that Jesus did that. He speaks for you in your defense. He pleads your cause so that you can hear it. But you know, if you've got a really great friend and you're having an argument with someone and they're defending you And they're saying all the reasons why you're actually great in spite of what the other person's saying. The moment that person leaves the door and it's closed, that friend might turn to you and say, well, do you know what though? There are a few things you need to sort out. And if you're a bit immature, you might listen to that and think, oh, how dare they say that? But if you recognize that they were just on your side, they're still on your side when they say critical words that seem like they're against you. So the Holy Spirit will do the same. He will highlight the ways in which you need to be braver, the ways in which you need to be more generous and sacrificial and committed. The Holy Spirit will do that. He is the advocate who is in you, the personal divine presence. He's not part of you. It's not like he's your conscience or something like that. He can speak against you and he can point you in the direction you need to go in. Well, the King James Version translates this word as comforter, which is really nice, isn't it? It makes maybe evokes the idea of like a sort of blanket that a toddler takes to bed and sucks to help them go to sleep. And I don't know what you think about that. Kind of soppy idea of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Maybe, of course, we need a bit of that sort of arm around you, something to hold on to, type of comfort. But I think of the Bayeux Tapestry. Do you know about this? Do you know what I'm about to say? There's a lovely bit on the Bayeux Tapestry where Bishop Odo, who is one of the brothers of William the Conqueror, appears, and the text says in Latin, Bishop Odo comforts the troops. Have you ever heard of this? Bishop Odo comforts the troops. And you think, well, what might be pictured underneath that? You know, maybe he's there with a glass of mead or something like that. He's sitting down having a nice meal with them, or he's sitting there listening, looking really understanding. He's not doing that. What is he doing? Well, firstly, he's on horseback, and in his hand is a huge club. And what is he doing? He's bashing them, and he's telling them, get into battle. You can do this. Chase those Anglo-Saxons. We're going to win today. We've had Arabic, we've had Hebrew, we've had Greek. Let's have a bit of Latin, shall we? What does the word comfort mean? Well, it's related to the word fortis, which is strength. When Bishop Odo was comforting the troops, he was strengthening them. He was giving them strength to face the battle that lies ahead of them. And when some translations use the idea of the Holy Spirit as being a comforter, he is that. He's a strengthener. He's someone who galvanizes people and leads them into the charge. And it may be that is what you need as well. And that is what God the Holy Spirit provides for you. He says to you, you can do this. Take another step. Keep on following the way of Jesus, even when it's hard. Even when you think you should be giving up because other people are giving up, you just press on. He's the comforter, the strengthener. He's the one you and I need. And just like the floodlight outside our church shines a light on the church, and probably many people couldn't even work out where the floodlight is. It's not there to draw attention to itself. It's there to draw attention to our church at nighttime. Say the Holy Spirit doesn't want to draw attention to himself, but draws our attention, fixes our gaze on Jesus Christ. John will go on later to say in this chapter that the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and present it to you. He will remind you of me. And so finally, the Holy Spirit will comfort me and you, strengthen me and you, advocate for me and you by pointing us to Jesus, pointing us to the cross, reminding us of who he is, why he came, and what it means to follow him. And perhaps he will do that for you this morning as we take bread and wine together, gathering round the Lord's table, remembering that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And may that truth shine in our hearts and our imaginations as the Holy Spirit presents it to us again. Amen.